it's wonderful to know that we serve a God who's, it's like you were saying, he was completely divine and completely human, showing his omnipotence and also showing his servitude to his own creation. You know, he could have just lorded over us and commanded and demanded, but his love showed his humanity in the sense of, in his divinity, that we can have the capacity to love God and to love our brothers and sisters. And we serve a God who came here to experience the same kinds of physical challenges that we take on in being accepted and being ridiculed and dealing with loss and hurt and pain. Jesus wept when and so he understands the fleshly carnal side of this existence on this side. He didn't just, you know, just reign in heaven, but he came down here so that we could know that we serve a God who does truly understand our challenges and the circumstances that we have to deal with on this earth. And I want to bring a message today just to tie directly back into the Sunday school lesson so we can keep our Bibles in Mark, the fourth chapter, in looking at that that passage where Jesus calms the storm. And to me, when listening in this morning, just thinking about even this message, it's really how much we focus our attention on Jesus. And how we, like the disciples, sometimes we allow the distractions of things that's going on around us to take our attention off of that reassurance that we have in him and through him. You know. So, as we go through this message today, I want us to just really meditate and think about our relationship with Christ and how faith-focused we are in our dedication and our obedience unto him, and drawing that in to helping us to reflect on just how good and great that he is. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, thank you, thank you, thank you for this blessed day. Thank you, Father God, for this blessed opportunity to come before your children and to share your word, Father God. Help us, Father God, to take this word in today, to meditate on it, to share your word with those that we come into contact with, to apply your word to circumstances and situations of life, and to be reassured through your son, Jesus, that you are with us wherever we go. And we give you praise, we give you glory, and we give you honor. None of me and all of you, Father God, as I bring this message, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. You are my Lord and my Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, church, it's really about being faith-focused. And it means we have to, on purpose, be focused on Jesus, even in the storms of life. Jesus has to be our focus. And we can't allow the enemy to distract us by the things that's going on around us. And that's all really the enemy can do is create distractions. He can't materialize anything. Because God's word says, no weapon formed against you will prosper. So no matter what the circumstances are, they will not overwhelm you or take you unless you give attention to them over your attention and focus to Christ. Amen. So we know that we live in a world filled with uncertainties. It's easy to be anxious and filled with anxiety. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. But we also can't allow our worries or anxieties overwhelm us to the point that it takes our attention away from the God that we serve.
You know, so we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, but we do know our God. We do know Jesus. We do know the, you know, I know that I serve a God who will supply all my needs. I do know that I serve a God who has promised to never leave me nor to forsake me, you know. So, as I said, in a world filled with chaos and turmoil, we are, all we want really at the end of the day is just some assurance and some peace and some comfort, and being comforted by the peace that everything is okay. We want someone to tell us that regardless of our circumstances, that everything will be all right. We want that, what we call that blessed assurance, you know, not that just that inspiring word, but a blessed assurance is an assurance that comes from God and God alone. It's genuine assurance that can only come from God. And we want to hear from God that all is well, and all is well because we know that through Jesus, we can do all things, and that he is with us, and that he's promised never to forsake us. Amen. So, in the knowledge of that, of knowing, you know, when we give our life to him, you know, now we belong to Jesus. And Jesus belongs to you and me, you know. So he's a gift from our God and Father above. And Jesus is that blessed assurance. Jesus is that comfort in chaos. Jesus is our shelter in the time of a storm. Jesus is our peace in the midst of the storms of life. He helps to quiet the storms of life. Amen. So as long as he's present in our lives and we keep our focus on him, then we can have that blessed assurance that all is well. Amen. So I'm going to read back. I know we read through eloquently, read through the scripture in the Sunday school lesson. I'm going to read through it again, Mark 4, and I'm going to read 35 through 40. And picking up in verse 35, Mark 4 says, "And the same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Verse 39, And he arose and he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" Now, church, the first of verse 40, I want us to focus on Jesus' words here, where he asked them the question, why are you so fearful? Why are you so full of fear? I know all these things are going on around you, but I'm right here with you. So, how is it that ye have no faith? You can say a little. He's like, you don't have any faith. And because they weren't focused on Jesus in the midst of that storm, their focus was on the storm. And they were overwhelmed by the strength of the storm, the power of the storm, the greatness of the storm. It was a great storm, like I think Sister Sandy said, these were fishermen. They were used to storms, so this was been something just off the charts, and they were totally overwhelmed with the physical nature of this storm that they totally forgot about. They're focused on Jesus, who had performed many things in their presence, in having them to understand his power and authority, and it's God's way of just showing, I think, us and even to the disciples that Y'all think this storm is great? Y'all think this circumstance or that tribulation that you're going, y'all think that's really something? Let me show you something. Let me show you I have control and power over all of that. So just imagine seeing the greatest and the biggest storm you've ever seen in your life with your physical eyes, seeing it, being overwhelmed with it. And we have seen video of hurricanes that are level four and level five, and these tornadoes that are just massive, massive, miles long. And God is saying, that is nothing compared to me. And it's interesting to note that even with all of that, you know, we saw there in verse 38, they were all worried and concerned, and they came and they found him, said, don't you care that we're about to perish here? Don't you see what's going on? And he didn't answer their question. You know, there's a question mark at the end of verse 38. He said, don't you care that we perish? He didn't even answer it. He arose in verse 39 and he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind and the waves, everything listened to them. The wind ceased and there was a great calm. And I don't think it was just the weather that got calm. I think they were in awe. They were calm now. They were like, oh my goodness. They were astonished by the power of this person that they were following around and listening to. But they were overwhelmed, I think, by him being able to speak to the forces of nature. They seen him do healing people. But this, I believe, is their first time seeing him control the forces of nature. And he asked them the question after they had asked him, don't you care that we perish? His next question is, why are you so fearful? Why are you so full of fear? How is it that you have no faith? And basically what Jesus was saying, how is it you don't have any of me in you? I've been with y'all. We've been going around all around. And you're with me, but you are not focused on who I am and what I'm able to do. Amen? I mean, you don't understand my power and authority as the Son of God. Amen? So I want to touch on something here, church. When in Romans 10 and 17, it talks about faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So it's like they've heard him. But we understand that the nature of faith is believing and trusting in what you have heard. So you could hear the word. But your faith comes by hearing it and trusting and believing in that word. Amen? Hearing the word of God through your natural ears will help you to hear words. But discernment and interpretation comes through the Spirit, which means you have to yield that fleshly, carnal nature, that mindset of trying to decipher fact from fiction and reality from in reality or the spiritual realm and the physical realm, is truly yielding over to, you know what, God, I trust you and you alone. And that's not by intellect. That's not by me trying to figure it out or even understand it. It's just about trusting. That even go. And what God is calling for is that trust and belief in him. And if you trust and believe in someone, then you're obedient to his word and what he has said. And that goes back to, I think, what we heard, what y'all was talking about in the garden. He was just basically testing Adam and Eve's obedience. Do you believe what I said? When I said don't, you don't have to know reason why I said don't eat that. But I want you to trust me. What I'm saying to you is that it's better for you not to. And for us, It is that obedience to God's word by being assured by his teachings, being assured by what we've heard Jesus say, and by trusting and believing in that. And when we talk about reading God's word and gaining discernment and understanding of it, we truly have to yield to the Holy Spirit, because a lot of it, or some of it, you cannot fathom or understand. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. We can't try to put ourselves on the same level of understanding. He sees everything from beginning to end. Well, all we can do is live in the present. We weren't here in the beginning, so we don't understand the whole book and the whole story. All we know is this chapter that we have in this life that we're living in right now. Amen. And God wants us to be okay with that. He says, okay, just trust me. I got you. You are born and lived in the time that I wanted you to be born and lived in. Amen. To do what I've called you to do. Amen. So we build our faith and we are assured by God by reading and meditating on his word. And like I said, faith comes by hearing. So we need to hear ourselves and others speaking the word of God into your ears. And Joshua 1:8 says, it instructs us to meditate on God's word day and night. So we know what reading is, but do we understand what meditation is? It's not just simply thinking about God's word, but it's reciting and reflecting and discerning how it may be applied to our lives or shared with someone in need. Amen. Meditating is reading God's word and truly comprehending what God is saying to you through it, through the Holy Spirit. We have to be locked in and focused on gaining understanding of God's words. That's Proverbs 4:7. It says, in all thy getting, get understanding. I want to know God's word and what it says, but more importantly, I want to understand God's word and know how to apply it to situations or circumstances in my life. Amen. I want to know how to apply it. Amen. In church, I'm going to go deep on some things. Even the things that we can't fathom or understand, we can still trust God. At the end of the day, the things that he does not bring clarity or discernment or understanding and revelation about, okay, I'm just going to trust you. I trust you. You know, we listen to our parents, and they say, don't touch that stove, it's hot. We didn't know what hot was until we actually were disobedient in doing it. But sometimes God is trying to protect you from things in life. He said, just trust me when I say go left or go right. Trust me when I say don't go here or go there. Just trust me. But the pride of man wants to figure everything out. Well, why do you want me to go left? Why do you want, let me explain. Just do what I've called you to do, and you'll have the peace that passes all understanding. You'll be able to walk confidently in this world full of chaos and distractions. You'll be able to not let all that stuff get into your head and distract you from basically doing what God has called you to do. And that's all the enemy is trying to do. He's 24/7 trying to distract you from focusing on Jesus. Disciples on that boat, that storm was there to distract them from the fact that they had salvation in Jesus. They're saying, we're getting ready to perish. We're getting ready to die. But no, Jesus came to give you life and life more abundantly. He is the life and the truth. All they had to do was focus on him. They should have pulled up a pillow beside him and laid down and went to sleep themselves. But it's an understanding. All these things happen. And this is the omnipotence of God. He knows all these things are transpiring. Heard y'all bring up Judas. He knows what Judas was going to do. He knew the storm was going to come. He knew the disciples were going to be overwhelmed by it. But all of it, still in God's wisdom, is still teaching us today here in 2025. What happened 2,000 plus years ago. He's still teaching us through these situations that when storms come, I can learn by example. I can look at this scripture, this passage, and see what the disciples, how they allowed the storm to distract him. So now in 2025, when a storm comes up in my life, I can learn and say, you know what? I'm not going to let that storm distract me. I'm going to keep my focus on Jesus. I'm going to do what God has called me to do. Amen. So we understand God's commands. We understand his direction, what he's called us to do. We see Jesus and we live by and through his example. Jesus did exactly what he saw his Father do. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. God spoke and then there was, right? So what did Jesus do to the storm? He spoke to the storm, peace be still, and then the storm ceased, didn't it? So what he said out of his mouth came into existence. And that's the exact same example we have to live by. We speak God's word and we trust God's timing to bring it to fruition, to bring it into existence. And it's just not a matter of if, but when. Amen. And we trust God's timing in everything that we have spoken that lines up with God's word. Amen. So what is God telling us to do? I'm going to be this last passage of scripture before I close. Joshua 1, and we'll pick up in verse 1. So what is God calling us to do? He wants us to be strong and he wants us to be courageous. Why? Number one, because he commanded us to, right? He told us, be strong and courageous. That's number one. And why? Two, because he's with us. So we can be strong and courageous in the midst of storms, in the midst of trials and tribulations. We can be strong and courageous because he's with us. You know how you have the bullies in school, and you got your parents or your big brother, your big sister with you. You're not as afraid, right? Because you know they're with you. They got your back. They're going to take care of you and protect you. And God wants us to have that same assurance in him that, you know what? Satan is throwing everything he got at me, but I'm not going to be afraid of him. I'm not going to let him overwhelm me. God's with me. He's got me. He told me to be strong and courageous. He told me to get thee behind me. Say, he gave me the words to speak when Satan comes. He's given me the word of God as my sword to chop down anything that the enemy throws. He's given me a shield of faith to block off any fiery darts that the enemy or the world throws at me. Amen. So let's look at this text, Joshua 1 and 9, and then I'll close. And I'm reading from the NIV. Verse 1 says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. Verse 3, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. Verse 5, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. What's the command or what's the promise? The promise is I will never leave you nor forsake you. And because I will never leave you nor forsake you, verse 6, so be strong and be courageous. I said I'm with you. You're not going through this circumstance and situation alone. I promise you I'm never going to leave. I'm never going to forsake. So be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Verse 7, let me tell you again, be strong and very courageous and be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left that you may be successful wherever you go. Verse 8, keep this book of the law, keep God's word always. Always, always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything, not something, but everything written in it. So how do we get to that place, church? We get to that place by trusting God and by being obedient to what He's called us to be. Be strong and courageous. Meditate on the Word day and night. Be careful to do everything that God's Word has said. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Verse 9, let me tell you one more time. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Well, why, Lord? Why shouldn't I be afraid? Why shouldn't I be discouraged? For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Amen. 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 Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father God, for the promise of your word of never leaving us nor forsaking us. Help us, Father God, to be obedient to the calling that you have placed on our lives. Thank you, Father God, for the commission to be strong and courageous, to walk boldly without fear and without anxiety, knowing that we have the strength and the power and authority of your Son, Jesus Christ, and we can do all things through him and by him. Giving him all the praise, glory, and honor, we thank you and give you praise, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.